Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us. Do tell your friends about us. This is the radio show, the podcast, that not only gives you the medical news of the week, but most importantly, what it means to you. How to prevent common kids' sports injuries. The best sport for a longer life? Try intense tennis. A quarter of the world's population, that is 1.2 or 1.4 adults, don't get enough exercise, and preventable heart problems have killed 415,000 people in the U.S. in 2016. Here's how to keep your heart healthy. Americans are going to the urgent care centers more than ever. Is that good? Well, you'll see they're also going to emergency rooms more often than ever, but as a lower fraction of total visits. It's a good change. We'll talk about that. Low-carb diets, we've talked about this, may not be healthy in the long run. Another article on that. We're not even going to cover that article today. And scientists are retooling bacteria to cure disease, and the early results boost hopes for the gene editing, where they give a person who's, say, got a genetic disease either a way of cutting out that gene in some cases, or adding another gene if you're missing an enzyme, and correcting everything. And we talked a little bit about ketamine last year as a hope for depression. Well, it turns out it works as a narcotic and probably is as addictive and problematic as narcotic. This going psychedelic with LSD, etc., for curing things, as Michael Pollan may have suggested, may not be appropriate for most people. Let's go now to the first of the stories that I want to talk about in the news of the week, and that is that 1 in 20 Americans, we said, are using e-cigarettes. Very few are using them to get rid of a cigarette or tobacco addiction. But the real first story that we should cover, ketamine may ease depression by acting like an opioid. Once known primarily as a club drug like LSD, ketamine has gained some legitimacy this last year for treating depression. But the antidepressant wears off fairly quickly, and people have to take it and snort the ketamine up their nose because you don't want to take it by injection. So you put it up your nose to get it. And that gave these researchers an idea that maybe it was working like an opioid and you could become addicted or dependent on it just like other opiates. So they gave these patients either a placebo or a narcotic antagonist before. The patients who, by the way, the 7 of the 12 patients with depression showed marked improvement. But then, and by the way, all of the patients had a dissociative or hallucinogenic effect from ketamine. You need a little of benzodiazepine beforehand to avoid that. But what they found out was a major drawback of the ketamine drug. If you gave Narcan, that narcotic antagonist beforehand, no relief of their depression. So this provides further justification for further caution against the widespread use of ketamine and other psychedelic drugs like ketamine, such as LSD, which is a relative, in the treatment of depression. Take home for this is if someone offers you ketamine for depression, try and go with another drug that is a antidepressant and that you can get orally. The best sport for longer life? Well, this is a very interesting study. The people who played tennis, badminton, or soccer lived longer than those who cycled, swam, or jogged, but any physical activity in this Copenhagen City Heart Study done for, I think it is 25 years for almost 9,000 participants, it showed that all activity led to a longer life compared to those who were sedentary. Tennis, 9.7 years. Badminton, 6.2 years. Soccer, 4.7 years. Cycling, 3.7. Swimming, 3.4. Jogging, 3.2. Calisthenics, 3.1 years. So all of these things had a benefit in living longer and with less disability. But in fact, the one that was best, tennis. And it was, if you'll notice, tennis, badminton, and soccer, all fairly intense activities, but all done with a friend. Some of the limitations of the study, if you did multiple sports, they had you choose the one that you did most. That may have changed during the 25 years. So this was started with people who were in the age range of 50 to 60 when they started, followed for 25 years, as I said. And tennis and badminton and soccer, the ones that gave you the most extra years of life and the fewest years of disability. Any exercise better than none, but when our physical activity allows us to play, basically it magnifies your health benefits. So that's the Copenhagen Heart Study. If people ask why you're dusting off your tennis racket, if you've only got a wood racket like some of us do, get a new one and start playing tennis. A quarter of the world's adults don't get enough exercise. This is even 30 minutes 5 days a week. But remember, in the U.S., it is two-thirds of us don't get that much. Horrible. So start by walking. And if you will, 5.5% fail to meet the guideline in Uganda, as opposed to 67% in Kuwait and the United States. Start walking. And on the whole, women get less exercise than men. That, again, is a global phenomenon. In the underdeveloped or developing world, women get a lot less than men in that same culture due to cultural changes. And also the women are busier in caring for children and cooking is traditional. 415,000 people died unnecessarily because they didn't do exercise, didn't eat right, didn't manage stress, and did smoke. So those are the key changes. So remember, meditate 5 minutes morning and night, 10,000 steps a week, 10,000 steps a day, sorry. Eat plant-based food mainly and avoid toxins, and you prevent two-thirds of heart deaths and more than that of stroke. Pretty easy to avoid that. How to prevent common kids' injuries? Prevent dehydration, give them water. Prevent sunburn, cover them up and use sunblock. Prevent concussions by learning how to play the sport. Don't overtrain, don't do the same exercise time after time after time. Vary your exercise, especially in sports that different seasons play different sports. Don't just concentrate on one. And calm by and reduce anxiety by visualization. Teach your son or daughter who is playing a sport how to visualize perfect behavior. You can do that by watching film of great athletes in that sport, or even of kids just a little bit older and bigger who ended up as great athletes who developed great technique. Scientists are retooling bacteria to cure by manipulating the DNA of bacteria. They're creating bacteria that once ingested work to treat a rare condition. So, for example, phenylalanine and PKU, when they get the bacteria, they're able to metabolize the phenylalanine before it gets to you or even after it gets to you, so they don't suffer phenylketonuria. Wonderful, wonderful way of manipulating bacteria. The other great thing is they're using the gene editing techniques to edit out bad genes and to edit in good genes that people are missing. So big, big change, and it is a remarkable success in the early trial with CRISPR. Remember the name CRISPR? It is wonderful from a standpoint of the early results. We don't really know what's going to happen long term, but I can tell you this week there was a report of a second group. We know of one group, the MIT-Harvard group, but the second group from the Salk Institute in San Diego now has got mice through the second generation to live younger. That is rebooted. So old mice, they're turning into young mice. The aging, this aging way we're going to get to become younger is really going fast. Now, it's only been done in mice, and the Harvard-MIT group says it is also done in dogs. Only one generation in dogs, obviously, because it's too young, too soon to do a second generation in dogs. But mice get old in 3 years, so you can. They've done it in two generations, two turns in mice, apparently. We haven't seen the peer-reviewed publications, just word-of-mouth reports so far. But those word-of-mouth reports are really dramatic if true. It's kind of like getting a tip on a stock. This is, you're hearing that they're making old mice young again. What can women do to lower the risk of lung cancer? Turns out women are getting lung cancer who aren't smoking. 20% of women who get lung cancer are non-smokers and haven't been exposed secondhand either. Only 10% of men. It turns out radon may be an asbestos in homes, living in homes more. So do survey your home for radon and asbestos before you move in so you can do the treatments for them and prevent radon. So you can do some minor treatments and avoid the radon, and a little more major, you don't want to buy the home with asbestos, so specify that on your home buying contract. And walking in women, less heart failure. So do exercise. We've talked about preventing disease with it. We've talked about tennis as a great exercise. Walking or tennis prevents heart failure. The caregiver risk, children of cancer patients, lowers the child's academic and professional development. So remember, caregivers are at risk for all kinds of things, and caregivers who are children, teenagers at the time, make sure you protect them by getting them help so that they don't become less successful than they would otherwise be. The cancer and caregiving for a cancer patient shouldn't be a detriment to them. Get them help and get a buddy for them so that they, one, aren't only the only ones caring, and two, is so that the buddy can help them learn. As I told you, the Hunter syndrome and the early historic gene editing, being able to cut it out and being able to cut in new genes, important, and that's what CRISPR is doing for us. And that's probably the most important. One more story I want to get to. Severe delivery complications are on the rise in U.S. pregnant women, especially minority women. So it's important that they get delivered in a place where you can have emergency backup service immediately available. So even if a midwife delivers you, make sure it's near enough to a hospital or in a hospital that you're going to get emergency services, because these are rising. Last story, Americans are going to urgent care centers more than ever, and increasingly they increased, if you will, more than 100%, 120% between 2008 and 2015 of the Aetna-insured patients. Unfortunately, emergency room visits also rose by 15% during that period. So both are going up, but much less expensive. Emergency rooms were $422 on average out of pocket, whereas $66 at urgent care centers. So if you've got something and can possibly go to an urgent care center, And there's one near enough to you that you can get a treatment for it, do it. If you got real chest pain, if you've got a burn, if you got a gunshot wound, those serious things, that's what emergency rooms are used for. And in that case, they're much cheaper than going to the urgent care center first, only because you get served first. And most insurance companies, when you really have a true emergency, have much lower copay charges. So where are we so far today? This is Dr. Mike Roizen. What's the best sport to play? Intense playing games. That is games you play, whether it's tennis or badminton or soccer. It's doing it a little intensely. That's right. Intensity increases the benefit, and do it with a friend. That is friendly competition. But that friend and that association with a badminton partner or a squash partner or a tennis partner, even a ping pong partner or a soccer team, tremendous benefit of the socialization as well as the sport. This is Dr. Mike Roizen. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week. This is podcast 909A. Thanks very much for listening. And every Tuesday, there's a new news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks, Darian, for great engineering, but especially thanks to you, our listener, for downloading us. Do rate us. Do tell your friends about us, especially if you like us. And remember, you can play a game and get 9.7 years younger. Thanks again.